This is the Big East Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, here we go. Welcome to Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. Saturday mornings can only mean one thing. From 10 to 12 Eastern Time, the fastest 2 hours in radio. And we'd love to hear from all of our guests and have you engage. Join us live on Twitter at eRadioSports. Info at eRadioSports.com. PodcastArena.com. I tell you what, we've got an amazing show. We're going to talk some PGA news and notes. NFL, hey, the publisher of the All Cardinals site, SI.com. Howard Balzer is going to be our very special guest. Also, Craig Kann from Sirius XM Radio, PGA host, and my very own producer, Jack McCraw, who is ready to talk about the Sweet 16 coverage because it does continue. What are some of your biggest takeaways from March Madness? I know this truly is your favorite time of the year because the countdown's on also for Major League Baseball.
Oh, this is the best time of the year, E. We have March Madness in full swing that we didn't get last year. Week away, and I'm ecstatic that we get a full 162 game season. But going back to the Sweet 16, this tournament has been amazing. There have been tons of upsets, and there have been big teams falling, and schools that I love, like I gotta give a shout out, I'm sorry, to Oral Roberts. They beat Ohio State, and I predicted that in my bracket, so shout out to Oral Roberts University.
Well, and how about Abilene Christian? I mean, how could we have ever anticipated that they would knock off Texas?
That was an amazing coaching job by Abilene Christian's coach, although I do have to say I picked Texas to go to the Final Four with Shaka Smart, and I don't think Shaka Smart will be back with Texas. I think it says more about Texas's failure than Abilene Christian's win, but I do give credit to the Abilene Christian Wildcats.
Okay, so what's your perception of Loyola Chicago? I mean, they obviously have exceeded expectations.
It seems as though they are meant to be here. They were a top 25 team, but they got a really low 8 seed in the tournament, and they knocked off Illinois, and now they're looking to make a Final Four run. They're playing Oregon State later on today, and if they win, they will either face Houston or Syracuse.
And that, of course, is the team that we've got our eyes on, obviously, with our home base here in Houston. What about Kelvin Sampson? I mean, I loved him at Oklahoma, but 7 years on the job, and he just continues to bring it.
He has brought a program back from the dead. He got this job because he was in good faith with Tillman Fertitta when he was working as assistant coach for the Rockets. When he took over in 2013, this program was irrelevant. They were playing in a high school basketball equivalent arena, but now Kelvin Sampson has defensive first philosophy, put the Cougars back on the map, and this is as good as the Cougars have been since the Phi Slam Pajama.
Okay, so our March Madness coverage continues. Got a post from my producer and give him a follow on Twitter at the...
This is the Big East Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. Before we get underway, at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Our Sweet 16 coverage, it does continue. Right now, we're also going to focus on college football. Spring practice is underway across the country. Always delighted to welcome back. And that is the host of Total Sports in Norman, Oklahoma. You can dial them in 11 to 2 on KREF. Also subscribe to Patreon, patreon.com, Die Hard Sooner Reports. He's simply the best. We love him. James Hale, how are you, Jay?
I'm doing great. E, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. We definitely wanted to get the skinny because a lot of change has taken place in Norman, Oklahoma. I initially extended this interview because we wanted to get up to date on what's been happening with spring practice. But at the forefront of my mind is you've got two legendary coaches in women's basketball. Sherry Cole, she has retired after 25 years. And then earlier this week, Lon Kruger has stepped away after a decade. What was your reaction?
Well, surprised with both. You know, maybe I'm too close to both programs. I don't know. You know, you cover both and you're there every day. Every time you can, you're at practice or you're at a media op. They return your phone calls. You've got great relationships with them. And I didn't see this coming for either one. Both are healthy as far as I know. Both look in great shape. Sherry Cole was as beautiful as ever. Mm-hmm. Lon Kruger, you know, hey, he can outwork us all. He can outrun us all. he can still make better, more jump shots than we can, play better golf than we can. You know, so you didn't see this coming. I was on the very last press conference with either one or Zoom call, however we're doing it today, and neither one gave you an indication that a few days later they were going to be stepping down. So I'm surprised. Now, Mom, 69, maybe. I have a theory about this COVID year. I know it was so difficult for the coaches and the players and everybody to go through the COVID year. And maybe both these coaches, Sherry had coached for 25 years. Lon has now coached. This is his 35th total season. He's taken five different teams to the Final Four. So that's pretty cool. Or he's taken them to the NCAA tournament. He's been to the Final Four, I think, with two different teams. Oklahoma's one of them with Buddy Hield in that group. So maybe after they just regrouped and recalculated everything because of Lon's age, because Sherry's been doing it for so long, they just decided they wanted to do something else. You know, Lon's son, Kevin, just got the job at UNLV. Maybe he and his wife talked and said, you know what, it would be really great to go support our son as he starts in the coaching realm. I don't know. We haven't heard from Lon yet. The shame about, this breaking in social media and things is that Lon was scheduled to meet with his team, later that afternoon, on Thursday afternoon. What happened was it broke, and now it's out there. And I don't know, reporters are really good. Social media is the way it is. But OU is really disappointed that Lon didn't get to tell his team. Now his team's hearing about it. Everything was going down with it. But anyway, that's the way it is. Lon was great. Now Joe Castiglione has to hire two coaches in basketball, and that's two of your top five programs on campus. And they've got to be great hires. We know how important these hires are. Oklahoma's got a really good men's program. It's a top 25 program. I've said that for a year. It's a top 20 program. You can win at Oklahoma. Coaches have won here. The money's there. You've got great workout facilities. You've got a great indoor practice court. The Lloyd Noble Center is what it is. But to me, it's a fine basketball court. If they ever start selling it out, they'll build a new basketball arena. But you might as well not, until you sell it out. It's an interesting program in that OU's a football school. All the energy and everything kind of goes into football.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball is kind of second tier, but the program has been successful. And whether or not it's been Billy Tubbs, whether it's been Kelvin Sampson, now Lon, John McLeod, Jeff Capel, however you want to look at it, those guys were able to do what they needed to do to win while they're coaching here. It's not a stair-step job. It's a job you come in and you get it. Kelvin left for Indiana when he was here. All right, that's an elite blue blood job. All right, that's one of the few jobs that a coach from Oklahoma should leave to go to. Lon was happy here. He didn't want to leave to go anywhere. So Joe Castiglione, he's going to have his hands full. He's got to find a women's program. And again, the women's program is not quite in as good a shape as it was in the early 2000s, but they've got all the same intangibles that the men do. It's going to pay pretty well, and there's a lot of talent in the state of Oklahoma and Texas, and the same thing with basketball here. I think it's going to draw a few names in both the men's and the women's, and it's going to be interesting to see the direction that it goes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we are talking Oklahoma basketball with James Hale, KREF 1400, host of Total Sports in Norman, Oklahoma, longtime reporter covering Sooner Sports. Give him a follow on Twitter, at jhale24. Okay, so you just mentioned you've not had a chance to catch up with Lon Kruger, but I'm assuming that you have had a chance to visit with the former head coach, legendary coach in Sherry Cole. 25 years, led the Sooners to three women's Final Fours, won six regular season titles. Sherry's young. She's only 56. What has she shared as far as what's next for her?
Well, she said, she said, James, I've always had other things besides basketball I want to do. She goes, yeah, basketball has been my first love, but there's other things I want to do. Remember, she was an English teacher at Norman High School, and she often would help her students in English, and she'd be grading their English papers early in her career, on the plane trip back, getting on them. How come you don't know what this preposition is and all that? they're just worried about why they lost the test to say it is.
That's great.
They're going, hey, okay.
Yeah.
Sherry was into that. I wouldn't be surprised if Sherry doesn't write a book. You and I both know Sherry Cole really well. Wouldn't she be great? doing games on national television.
Oh, for sure.
Or sitting in a studio somewhere talking about hoops. And not just on the women's game, but in the men's game or in the NBA game. Because I found very few people that know X's and O's and know ball better than Sherry Cole. Sherry never got out coached X's and O's wise. Her recruiting got a little lazy. She got to where they didn't recruit enough bigs in the program and things, but that's not, you know, what we're trying to do here. She surprised me. She just said she has other things. Her son Colton and his wife, they just had a baby, yeah. A granddaughter, you know, and she said, my family has sacrificed so much for me. She goes, when you're coaching, it takes up every single fabric of your soul. There's nothing left. And yet, you know, you're trying to be a wife, you're trying to be a mom, and yet, you know, you're just consumed, and that's what coaching does to you. She goes, after 25 years, I just thought it was time to do something else, to reconnect with my family if they will let me do that. And I'm going to try some, find some things to do, and I've got some ideas what I want to do. And, you know, hey, don't worry about me. She said, I'm going to be fine.
Hey, James Hale with us just a few more minutes at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Hey, James, quickly, connect with our audience. Where can they subscribe to Patreon and all your reports?
Well, just Google Die Hard Sooner Report at Patreon. You know, and it's a small subscription deal. You get several short podcasts every day. The price is right. $5 gets you into it. You can donate whatever you want to the site. I cover not only football every day, recruiting every day, but every sport at OU I cover every day. Mm-hmm. So if you're a Sooner fan, you're going to love Die Hard Sooner Report.
Hey, our very special guest has been James Hale, KREF 1400. Listen, James, you stay safe, and we look forward to connecting and getting the latest on OU spring practice and how that all plays out. Thanks, Jay.
Look forward to it, E. Thanks.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way right after this.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect. You can always join us live on Twitter at E-Radio Sports. Email the show, info@eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. We come your way every Saturday morning, 10 to 12 Eastern time. And we always like to pause and recognize the folks that make it happen at our network. And that is O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, as promised, it is time to go around the horn. Spring training, it is winding down, and we are looking forward to the start of opening day and the 2021 Major League Baseball season. It is almost here, and right now we're going to zero in on the St. Louis Cardinals, as this season, did you know, it is the 10th anniversary of the Cardinals' 11th and most recent World Series championship. We are so thrilled to have with us for the very first time, who's going to highlight his brand new book, and we're also going to get his thoughts on the upcoming season, and that is the Cardinals pitcher, Daniel Ponce de Leon. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on here.
Well, before we take a deep dive into your book, I do want to get the pulse on the upcoming season. Spring training is always an important time of year to kind of figure out where you are as a player. So what kind of progress have you made in camp?
Just pretty much building up the innings-wise, made small little adjustments. I moved across to the other side of the mound. It may not seem big, but it's kind of big to some pitchers, and I think it's working out pretty well so far.
Well, Daniel, as you prepare for the upcoming season, 162 games, what is kind of that immediate goal as a player that you've really kind of zeroed in on?
As a starter, it's going to be eating up a bunch of innings. And another big thing is, since we do have a full season this year, coming off that short year, it's just staying healthy, really.
Cardinals pitcher Daniel Ponce de Leon is with us at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We're talking about spring training and making that transition. So, Daniel, what's the key to sustaining success from all the training in those early months and carrying that over into the regular season so you can keep that momentum, you can keep that vibe alive?
You know, first thing is, you know, you keep into your routines what got you to where you are. So you kind of hit your protocols throughout the week and make sure you stay on top of things, stay on top of stuff that nags. And secondly, make sure you're in the right state of mind, really. It's a long season, and you got to be in the right state of mind to get going through it.
You're exactly right. I mean, it is a long season, 162 games. And, you know, when you reflect on your spring training, for you personally, I mean, is it a true indicator of what's in store for you for the upcoming year and how you might perform? I mean, is it a true measure?
Yeah, the spring training is mainly just to see hitters' reaction on some of your pitches and see how they're playing, and they're playing exactly how I was hoping, so that's a good thing. And also, it's mainly for pitchers to get in shape, and it's going pretty smoothly thus far, and the body feels pretty good.
Daniel Ponce de Leon is with us at Sports Map Radio Network. We're going to talk about and highlight his brand new book here momentarily. I do want to mention and congratulate you and your wife. You just had another addition to your family, your third child. And so that's always so exciting as a parent, but let's be real. I mean, it can be very, very stressful. So what's been the biggest challenge for you and trying to juggle all these different responsibilities and being a professional athlete?
The biggest problem here is the MLB doesn't want you to be around your families, and they're putting so many rules up where you can't even see your whole family, which I think is ridiculous. But you know, I'm not gonna keep my family away from me. I want to be around my wife and my kids, and also I don't want to leave my wife alone with the kids as well. So I'm not only a baseball player, I'm a husband and a father, and those are two roles which I take very dearly, and I want to fulfill them.
Have they been with you in spring training?
This spring training, no, because the baby Sophia came right before I came here, so they had to stay there for their checkups and whatnot. But once season gets rolling around, they're going to come up north with me to St. Louis and tag along.
Very nice. Cardinals pitcher Daniel Ponce de Leon is with us at Sports Map Radio Network. The reason we extended this invitation is we're going to talk about his new book. Check out the website, onelinedrive.com. It is now available on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. But just a few more questions about the upcoming season. I got to ask you, I mean, what was your reaction when the Cardinals traded for Nolan Arenado?
I was pumped up. I cannot tell you how much. Super excited. You know, we're the number one defense already, and you add a guy like that to our defense, and we get that much better, you know.
Well, what has he brought to the clubhouse since the trade?
He's blended right in. I mean, obviously he's a leader, and he has his own style of different things, but he's a Cardinal instantly, really. And not only that, but he loved to be here as well. And so the clubhouse vibes are way better, and you see a lot more guys kind of flocking around him now, and it's nice.
You know, we talk about the addition of Nolan, and you're exactly right. I mean, you guys are so strong defensively. You've got a lot of depth with pitching. So expectations are very high coming into the 2021 season. So do you believe at the end of the year that you guys are going to be the last team standing? I mean, what are your expectations? What's your belief, Daniel?
No, expectation is always a World Series, and never really believed otherwise. And not only just myself, but it comes from the top down. You know, Wainwright and Yachty, that's all they're here for is, you know, World Series. We're not here for individual accomplishments. And they just want to keep on winning.
Hey, we're getting ready to shift gears. We are going to highlight Daniel's brand new book. It is titled One Line Drive, A Life-Threatening Injury and a Faith-Fueled Comeback. It's an inspirational read. Is this something that you'd always wanted to do, was to share your story and inspire others in Christ?
No. I never really wanted to write the book, honestly. And, you know, it was a decent amount of convincing within my inner circle of people, as well as a lot of people, fans and close people, family members reaching out and saying how much they've been affected by what I've been through. And so finally, you know, I was like, I could agree to write this book. But the reason why we're writing this, in my opinion, is to help people in their spiritual lives. I think it's a big overlooked thing in people's lives, and if I could help change at least one person's soul over to God, then it's worth it for me.
So take us back to May of 2017, where you were hit in the head by a line drive, and you underwent emergency surgery, and you were in ICU. I mean, very scary situation. What do you remember from that day?
I remember pretty much everything until up to the hospital. You know, it's a day game in Iowa. Victor Caratini was at the plate. Rosario was my catcher behind the dish, and he called for a two-seam down and away. I throw the two-seam that starts right down the middle and stays in the middle. Caratini lines it right back up the middle, hits me in the temple, knocks me out for a few seconds. But once my trainer and teammates surround me, I'm able to come to and answer all the questions that my trainer asked me. But, you know, he didn't think that was good enough. So he called over the stretcher and they put me on the stretcher, put me right in the ambulance and drove me over. And once I got in the ambulance, that's when I started feeling a little bit worse than I thought it was. And once I got into the hospital, that's when my memory starts kind of fading away from me. And the last thing I remember is them shaving my head. And then after that, I'm laying in the hospital bed talking with my dad.
The months ahead, I mean, what was that rehabilitation process? I mean, you've gone through so much.
The rehab process was a lot of nothing. So to rehab a brain that has swollen, you know, I had a brain shift about 8 millimeters, and I had to wait for that to go away to resume any sort of activity. And to do that, you just sit and recover. You can't, you know, rehab something that you would do with like an arm or a leg or something of the sort. So there was a lot of time to myself. So I chose to rehab my spiritual life at the same time.
You know, you had a lot of time to yourself, but gosh, only 14 months later, you were back on the mound. So, you know, take us through that first game. And I just have to wonder, too, I mean, Daniel, how did you overcome the fear of, again, being maybe hit by a pitch and not being afraid of the ball?
As a pitcher, you can't be afraid to throw the ball over the strike zone, because if you do, that's when the bad things happen. So once you step on the mound, you're in attack mode. You've got to be on offense, even though you're playing defense. And I think if you pitch otherwise, it won't go as favorable as you wish. So yeah, I'm always in attack mode once I step on that mound.
Cardinals pitcher Daniel Ponce de Leon is with us at Sports Map Radio Network. He's got a compelling read. You've got to go out and get a copy. Check out their website, onelinedrive.com. It is now available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. One Line Drive, a life-threatening injury and a faith-fueled comeback. You know, Daniel, it's interesting that you talked about, you know, you weren't super excited and on board with wanting to write and be so personal and write this book. But you learn a lot about yourself when you write a book. So what was that self-discovery process like? You obviously, as you had just shared, I mean, you had a lot of time to think about things. What did you want the reader to know?
Well, first, I was able to discover everyone else's feelings. I never really asked how they felt once I got injured. I didn't think anyone really cared. But then I was able to read my dad's reaction, my wife's reaction. They were just in disbelief. You know, you could read my dad just going to his knees praying. And it's like, man, I felt that emotion when I was reading it, and breaks my heart, really. And so what I learned about myself is I didn't really know how to love, and I'm still learning as best I can, and definitely am different than I was before. But you could read my wife's journey throughout the book as well with me, and you could see that I was just so hard-hearted, I guess you could put it. And you know, it just slowly but surely you could see my heart turning back over and learning how to love.
You know, Daniel, you talk about your inner circle, yeah, your father, your wife, but it's going to be kind of nice this year. I mean, you guys are going to have fans back in attendance. I'm sure you're looking forward to kind of hearing from some of the fans and kind of their takeaways from the book. Have you received some feedback even in spring training?
Yeah. You know, as I walk onto the field every game, you know, I have fans coming up to the sideline right there next to the bullpen. They're saying, hey, we got your book. We loved it. Or, hey, I'm planning on buying your book. So that really brings me some joy. And also, not only that, I do have one social media, and it is a Twitter. Okay. And I left the messages open. I've had a lot of messages, actually, about the book. And this is kind of what I was hoping for, was it affecting people's lives and helping them, you know, turn from their ways.
Well, Daniel, why don't you connect with our audience? What is your Twitter handle so that we can check it out, and we want to move as many books as we can for you?
Thank you. It's underscore Ponce, P-O-N-C-E, 14. I think that's it.
Okay, very good. And of course, onelinedrive.com. You can purchase Daniel's book at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Congratulations. Again, the title of the book is One Line Drive, A Life-Threatening Injury and a Faith-Fueled Comeback. You're amazing, Daniel. So courageous, and we wish you all God's best. Thank you so much for joining us this weekend.
Yep, thank you for having me on here again.
You bet. Yes, sir. Cardinals pitcher Daniel Ponce de Leon has been our very special guest at Sports Map Radio Network. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with much, much more. Stay tuned.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your weekend. Of course, every Saturday from 10 to 12 Eastern Time. You bet it is time to buckle up. We're going to tee it up with our weekly PGA News and Notes segment. It is a beautiful, it's been a busy week in Austin with the PGA Tour in action at the WGC Dell Technologies match play underway. It's been so impressive. I mean, it's featured 13 World Golf Championship winners, 5 FedEx Cup champions, and top 10 in the world in the golf rankings. So these are the type of championships players they want to be a part of, they aim for. So we're going to highlight some of that action from this week and today. And of course, we've got to take time to step back and let's recap the Honda Classic. And how about Matt Jones, his second win on tour? Delighted to have back with us my best friend. That, of course, is Larry Miller, who joins us each and every week, former PGA pro, with our weekly Inside the Ropes. Hello, Larry. We haven't had a chance to talk in a couple of weeks. It's good to have you back.
I know, yeah. Great to be back, since we're in the middle of the hot part of the golf season coming up and a lot to talk about, but great to be back with you all.
Well, we're looking forward to kind of talking about this weekend's action, but let's step back in the rearview mirror and recap PGA National and Matt Jones' big win. Just your takeaways. I mean, this was his first victory in 7 long years, and the cool thing is he's headed back to Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah, well, you know, this guy, he's from Australia, and he's won a couple of Australian Opens, against really good fields, and it's not like he just came out of nowhere. I mean, he's been a great player, great ball striker, but it kind of illustrates how hard it is to win on the PGA Tour these days with the depth of the field and so many great players and so many great young players coming up. And I think it's more an illustration of that, of how difficult it is to win out there. You see that it happened a few times before in the last couple of years where a guy, after a long stretch of not winning, wins a tournament. And I'll tell you what it is. Matt Jones just rode the hot putter, as is usually the case in the winter every week. He rode that real red-hot putter to victory. But like I say, He's got quite a track record globally, and it's not a big surprise to any of the players out there. They know how good this guy is. He's a tremendous ball striker. When you combine that with a hot putter for a week, and you're going to have a winner or pretty close to it.
You know, you mentioned he is an Australian. He's 40 years old. And, of course, the Honda Classic, it is played at PGA National. We both have been there many, many times. My boys have played it. And it's not easy to navigate around that bear trap. What do you think is the most difficult part of that course? I mean, you were talking about his ball striking, his accuracy, his precision, and then his putting. But you've got to figure out how to work around that course.
Boy, number one, you got to hit in the fairway because – if you're trying to come into those greens, those greens have undulations, they have sharp edges, they have sides of the green that run down into way off the green into little collection areas, and it makes for very difficult chipping and pitching. And if you have a long putt, it's a difficult two putt. So getting your tee shot in the fairway is really optimum because you've got to be able to spin the ball with your approach shot so that you can stop it on those greens in the area where you'd like to stop it. And if you're trying to come out of the rough or somewhere off the fairway, trying to land it on those greens, it's not going to spin. And inevitably, it's going to run into one of those little areas where it goes down and off the green and then gives you a very difficult chip or pitch. So I think first thing is you need to hit it in the fairway. It's not a long course by tour standards, and so you don't necessarily have to hit driver. You need to hit a club that puts you in the fairway with a good lie so that you can spin the ball. Then the fun begins. Then you've got it's a real approach shot golf course also, where the premium is on your approach shots to the greens. So it's a precision type course. It's kind of like Sawgrass in that respect, where it's not so much length as it is precision and shot placement. And of course, that is Matt Jones's specialty and forte. And then, as I said, he combined that skill with a hot putter that week. And there you go. And that's pretty much why he won the golf tournament. And he was he really showed a lot of class coming down the stretch, held it together and was never really threatened in the final round hardly, and just, you know, pulled away and kept steady and didn't make any big mistakes.
PGA National, it is a tough course. They've got that stretch of holes, you know, with the bear trap where there are so many victims. But you just mentioned TPC Sawgrass. So when you're standing on the tee box, what is more intimidating, the bear trap or hole 17 at TPC?
Oh, I think the bear trap, but by far. The 17 is, you know, I've played it many times. And, you know, when you're just playing the hole casually, you know, recreationally, whatever, in a practice round, there's really nothing to it. It's just a wedge or a little nine iron, and it's a big green. And all you have to do on that hole really is aim for the center of the green and get your yardage right. Now, the problem starts when you've got pressure on you and they stick the flags in these weird places where you're tempted to try to get fairly close to the flag, and you do that and you make a little mistake and you're in the water. And then the wind, a lot of it depends on the wind there at Sawgrass. If you get a windy day, 17 is a much different hole than it is on a calm day. And so that's what makes it difficult, is the pressure, the pin positions, and the wind. And sometimes you get all three going at once, and then it becomes a dicey little shot. But normally it's just a shot. It's just a wedge or nine iron shot to the middle of the green. Take your par and you go to the next hole. Now, the bear trap is something else. You've got 15, 16, and 17 where you can have a train wreck on any of those holes. Water everywhere. The wind's always howling. You know, the landing areas are not wide on those holes. And so the slightest mistake and you're in the water, you're going to make double or triple. And that's what happened. Look how many doubles and triples and worse were recorded on those holes. Something interesting about that tournament, Chase Koepka, Brooks's brother, in the second or third round, I can't remember, second or third round, he birdied the bear trap. He birdied 15, 16, and 17. And they said that was only the ninth time in the history of the tournament that's been done. Pretty amazing.
That is amazing. You are listening to the familiar voice of Larry Miller as we are inside the ropes, former PGA pro and author. You know, when we reflect back on that Honda Classic, what about Aaron Wise? He three putts from 3 feet. I mean, Larry, help us understand, how does that happen? I mean, does that just come down to being nervous, or, I mean, what's going through your mind when that takes place?
Yeah, it's one of two things. It's either nerves or loss of focus. For whatever reason. And, of course, being nervous can make you lose focus, so it's kind of related. But that's what happens. When you see a good player like that three-putt from a short distance, it's 9 out of 10 times it's nerves. These guys don't get the yips very often, and so you can't blame it on a continuing problem with their putting. It's usually a situational type of thing where, you know, the pressure of the particular situation causes you to get nervous, and then you don't make a good stroke. You might lose your focus, and then you compound it with a lip out or something. But it happens. Doesn't happen that often to the PGA Tour players. I mean, you don't see a guy three putt from 3 or 4 feet very often. Very rare. But that's usually what causes it.
Okay, so my observation is short putts are just a great equalizer in golf. So what's the best way to eliminate three putts? Give us some advice, Coach.
Well, Lee Trevino once said that when a good player misses a short putt, he said the head moves. The head will move. And if you move your head, and I'm talking about a 16th of an inch when you hit a putt, a short putt, that changes the angle of the club face, of the putter face, ever so slightly, and you can get a lip out. And that's what happens. And I don't know if you remember, but Tiger Woods, about, I'm saying 6-7 years ago, was struggling with his putting, which, of course, is like Halley's Comet coming when Woods struggles with his putting.
Okay.
But he was.
Right.
But he was struggling, and he went to Steve Stricker. And Stricker told him, he said, Tiger, your head's moving ever so slightly. And he told him to keep the bill of his cap, you know, because that's something you can see. It's a visual reference. So when you're putting, make sure the bill of your cap doesn't move. You can kind of see it out of your peripheral vision up above. And if you don't let the bill of your cap move, that means your head didn't move. and that's going to straighten out your stroke, your short putting stroke, and it's going to keep your blade from opening up or closing, whatever, and missing putts. So, and that got Tiger out of his putting slump. He got out of it right away and went back to his usual great putting. But that's what Trevino said. He said, when a good player misses a short putt, the head is absolutely moving. It might almost be imperceptible, but it's ever so slightly, and that's all it takes to change the angle of the face.
Okay, so on the little guy putts, those short putts, I'm just curious. I mean, do you aim for the back of the cup, or do you roll it over the front center?
Okay, I've always been a lag putter, kind of like Ben Crenshaw. You know, I'm not a charge putter like Tom Watson was or Arnold Palmer was. I tend to dive the ball at the hole. It's just a way that I've always putted my whole life, and I've always figured that if the ball's going really fast, it's only got one way to go in, really, and that's pretty much in the center. But if it's going a little slower, it can leak in and all over the place in the cup, in the lip, and lip in. Now, saying that, because of that, I do leave a lot of putts short in the hole that would have gone in if I'd hit them harder. But on the other hand, I very rarely three putt because of it, because I'm always lagging close to the hole, and a lot of times they'll go in. So it's a trade-off. It's a trade-off where I don't three putt very often, but I also miss some putts that I should make because I didn't hit it hard enough. And it's just a matter of, you know, of what your putting philosophy is and what your style is. And that's just the way I've always putted since I was a kid. So that's my take on that, is that I'm kind of like Crenshaw, and Stricker's like that too. Stricker sort of dies it at the hole.
Former PGA pro, we are Inside the Ropes, Larry Miller, our very special guest, who joins us each and every week at Sports Map Radio Network. We're going to move ahead. Let's highlight the WGC Dell Technologies Workday Championship that is underway in Austin. So what have we learned from some of the players in this rare format? And it's a fun week. I mean, anything can happen in match play.
Yeah, I just love match play. I've always gone back to college, golf and amateur golf. I just love match play because I just think you play a lot with a lot more freedom in match play, because if you have a bad hole, it's only one hole. It doesn't ruin the whole round and your score. I mean, if you make a 7 or 8 on a hole, say you're playing the bear trap in match play, and you make a quadruple bogey on 16, you know, and you're playing a match, you only lose one hole. But in a tournament, that's 4 shots over par. And so I've always been able to play with a lot more freedom in match play, because knowing that any mistake is just not going to cost you that much. Maybe a hole, if that. And so I think a lot of the players, and that's why you see so many upsets in match play, in these match play events, because a lot of these, and I'm going to use, you know, quote unquote lesser players, not the elite players, a lot of lesser players will beat the elite players. I mean, look what Ian Poulter did to, Rory McIlroy, and what I think Justin Thomas got beat by Matt Kuchar.
Yes,
pretty good, pretty handily, 3-2. I think Poulter was 6-5 over McIlroy. But you see that a lot in match play, because these lesser players, call them that, they're great players, but they're lesser than elite. They play with more freedom in match play, and so you see a lot of these upsets, especially in an 18-hole match. Anything can happen, really.
Well, because you're putting your pressure on your opponent. You're not necessarily playing the course, right? I mean, I'm just wondering, like, how you should attack.
That's right. You're paying a lot more attention to what your opponent is doing, because that dictates your strategy. You might play a very conservative shot if your opponent is in big trouble in the woods or something. And, if you're playing stroke play, you might go for a pin in that situation where, you know, whereas you're not playing against one person, you're playing against the scorecard in the golf course. So it's a whole different strategy. I think it's a lot of fun, and a lot of strategy and comes into play where a shorter hitter sometimes has an advantage because he gets to hit the approach shot first and put pressure on his opponent who's farther down the fairway. And a lot of players will intentionally lay back so that they can hit the approach shot first and put pressure on the opponent. So a great deal of strategy goes into it. I think it's a lot more interesting and fun, and I wish there was more than just one event on the tour that's match play.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with Larry Miller after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's go back inside the ropes with Larry Miller. You mentioned talking about Rory. He has formally begun work with his new swing coach, Pete Cowan. Why is he struggling? What do you see?
Well, he admitted himself that he started chasing a little more distance because of DeChambeau, and that got his swing a little bit out of sync, a little bit off kilter, and now he's trying to get it back to where it was. But, you know, that was very curious to me as why he did that, because Rory's already in the top three or four driving distance on the tour, so he doesn't need any distance. And in my opinion, he should have been working on his wedges, and just like DJ did when he decided he was going to become a great wedge player and dialed in his wedges. And that's what Rory should have been concentrating on, not chasing another 5 or 10 yards just to keep up with DeChambeau. I was very curious why his coach didn't maybe he did, and maybe Rory said, no, I want to hit it further. Who knows? But in any case, it was a big mistake, I think. And I think he'd be better served to work on that 100 yards in or 120 yards in shot.
Larry Miller is a life member of the PGA of America and former PGA Tour player, an author of 4 books on golf and performance. We love him. He joins us each and every week at Sports Map Radio Network. Thank you.